Today's year is Masecht Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Dalad, and we will begin in Daf Samach Gimel on the base, 7 lines from the bottom. Yosra Rav Nachman Ula Vavimah Vapapi. Rav Nachman and Ula and Vavimah Vapapi were all sitting. Yosra Rav Chiya Bar Ami Gabayu. Rav Chiya Bar Ami was sitting with them. It's interesting to point out that Tosfos says that many times in Shas we have the Gemara mentioning a group of Amoraim who were sitting together and discussing a question, and usually the Amoira who was singled out is the Amoira who had the Chiddush, who had something unique to say. Yet in our Gemara points out Tosfos, it wasn't Rav Chiya Bar Ami who said the Chiddush, it was actually Rav Nachman who said the Chiddush. Says Tosfos that why? If it was Rav Nachman that said the Chiddush, it should have been Yosef Rav Nachman Gabayu. Says Tosfos that this Gemara is actually connected to Gemara Masechta Ksubis Daf Nun Gimel. And the Gemara Masechta Ksubis Daf Nun Gimel says the same group of Amoraim sitting and discussing a question in Halacha. And in that Gemara, it was Rav Chiya Bar Ami who indeed said the Chiddush. Because in that Gemara, it was Rav Chiya Bar Ami who said the Chiddush, and he was therefore singled out. Our Gemara, which is connected to that incident and connected to that Gemara, also uses Rav Chiya Bar Ami's name, even though it wasn't actually Rav Chiya Bar Ami who said the Chiddush. So if you ask Rav Chiya Bar Ami Gabayu, the Kamei Boiler, and he asked the following question. Sachroi Lishba B'Yayin Nesach Mahu. As we have been learning, the halacha is that Yayin Nesach is also Bachila and also B'Shtia. But actually, interestingly enough, there's another rule regarding Yayin Nesach, and that is there's a concept of Roitze B'Kiyumai. Some Yayin Nesach Avodah Zarah are so prohibited that one is not allowed to want. Or wanting is not actually the point, because it's more, one is not allowed to do any action that causes that they should remain in existence. And therefore, here when we speak about Yayin Nesach, the issue here is that Rotsu B'Kiyumai, doing anything, as the Gemara will give explanation what the example we're discussing, is Asur. Machlokes Rishonim, when do we apply the concept of Roitze B'Kiyumai? Some Rishonim say that the Isser of Roitze B'Kiyumai applies by anything that's Osir B'Hanah. Anytime we have an Isser that's Osir B'Hanah, there's also a concept of Roitze B'Kiyumai. Other Rishonim disagree. Where it's specifically relevant is when we speak about Chametz B'Pesach. Chametz B'Pesach is Osir B'Hanah. And if we're saying that anything that's osa b'hanah is falls into the category of roitze b'kiyumai, chametz b'pesach will have this rule too. Although there's an interesting chsam sofer, that the chsam sofer says that we are not to view chametz and pesach as osa b'hanah, rather says the chsam sofer, chametz and pesach falls into a new category. It falls into the category of bayira bayimotzah. So even if we say that something which is osa b'hanah has a rule of roitze b'kiyumai, chametz and pesach is somewhat different. If we hold that chametz and pesach there's a rule of osa b'kiyumai, so I saw that the mefarshim discuss, the poskim discuss, why would we be allowed to sell chametz before pesach? We want the chametz to exist because we want that the akum who buys the chametz should pay for it. So that's not that much of a question, because as the poskim point out, because it's not that I specifically want the chametz to exist, I just want to get the payment, and it's not this specific chametz that I do or don't want should exist. However, where it does come up is if, let's say, somebody has something made out of chametz and it has some sentimental value to him, so he sells it every year before Pesach, but he wants it really to continue to exist, that he should be able to get it back after Pesach. It may be an issue if we hold that Roitze B'Kiyumai is also on Pesach. So here what happened was, points out the Gemara, Sachroi Lishbar B'Yayin Nesach Mahu. He was hired to break barrels of Yayin Nesach. So because he was hired to break those barrels, and he's being paid for each barrel, he wants the barrels to continue to exist. And because he wants the barrels to continue to exist, therefore, we have a case of rights of B'Kiyumai. And as the Rishonim point out, certainly if the Yisrael is not getting paid for this act, so as far as he's concerned, he would be much more satisfied that the barrels should break and he won't have to go through the activity of breaking them. It's not considered a situation of rights of B'Kiyumai. The issue that we're discussing, specifically point out to Paiskim, is a situation where he's getting paid and therefore he wants them to exist so that he could be able to collect his payment. Furthermore, points out the safe avoidus avoidus from Shlomo Kluger. In a situation where it's not like Algamar, who's getting paid to break the barrels, but he's getting paid to pour out the wine, that certainly it would be considered Reitzah B'Kiyumai and would be Aser. The discussion here is specifically when he's getting paid to break the barrels. Mi'amina, do we say Kim the Reitzah B'Kiyumai Aser? Since, as we have been discussing, there's a concept of the Reitzah B'Kiyumai here too, he wants these barrels to exist so he should be able to get paid and therefore it should be Aser. Idilma Kalam Muti Tifla Shapidami. He really, his goal is to eliminate the Yayin Nesach, and since that's his ultimate goal, it doesn't fall into the category of rights of B'Kiyuma. It's interesting to point out that the way the Chassam Sofer learns the Gemara is that the Gemara at the beginning is assuming, it seems, that certainly L'chatchila this should be Asr. The Gemara's question, it seems, is only B'di'evit is this acceptable, but then points out the Chassam Sofer, says the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman, Yishbar v'tavala bracha. So Rav Nachman is saying that not only is it permissible, but it's tavala bracha, it's 100% mutter, and therefore only mutter b'di'evid, it's 100% mutter even l'chatchila. Furthermore, in understanding this question, where it's in a situation of lemutei tifla, his goal is ultimately to eliminate the Yai Nesach, and since that's its ultimate goal, it doesn't fall into the category of rights of B'Kiyumai. How are we to understand this Gemara? Fundamental shaila in the Achroinim. Some Achroinim explain that even though this is technically a situation of rights of B'Kiyumai, here the Isser of rights of B'Kiyumai doesn't apply. That's one way that Achroinim understand the Gemara. Other Achroinim, however, understand the Gemara that because his goal is to eliminate this Yayin Nesach, therefore it doesn't fall into the category of rights of B'Kiyumai at all, and that's why it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Lema Mesaile, Sir Rav Nachman Paskin, that it's mutter. Lema Mesaile, and the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rav Nachman's ruling. The Brisa says, Ein oidrim evavik ucham beklaim. The halacha is that klaim is asur. So certainly, as the Rishonim explain, kale kerem, klaim of trees, are asur both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. So this, if we're speaking about kale kerem, the rule we're speaking about in this Brisa applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. Kale zroim only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim if the din of Klayim applies to Akum. Our Mishnah that we're quoting now certainly points, it seems, to the point that Klayim is also even for Akum. So, Ein Oidim Avi Kham Klayim, one may not participate in planting or working on Klayim with the Akum. Va'aval Oikum Imoy, one could work on pulling out the klayim, since the goal is kedei lemutei esatifla. He wants to eliminate klayim, and since he wants to eliminate klayim, that's why it's mutter. Now, Let's think about the situation. Again, here we have a situation where the Yisrael is getting paid to eliminate the Klayim. Since he's getting paid to eliminate the Klayim, he obviously wants these Klayim to remain in existence, because as long as they remain in existence, he will be able to collect a salary for pulling out the Klayim. Yet, the Braisa says that it's mutter. So we see that it seems that we have again a raya that lemute, if it's lemute tifla, it's mutter. And the Gemara analyzes and explains how this proof has come about. But in order to develop this proof, we have to review a machloikas tanoim regarding the Issa Klayim. There's a machloikas Rabbanan Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbanan are of the opinion that the only Issa with Klayim is to actually plant or to do anything to help Klayim grow. Rabbi Kiva is more machmer. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that I'm a kind of Klayim, even maintaining Klayim is Osir, which actually in itself is a machloikas Rishonim, how to understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Most Rishonim, Tosfos and our Sugya, says that Rabbi Kiva, who says Mekayim B'Klayim Osir, is only when somebody does an act to maintain Klayim. For example, putting a fence around a field where Klayim is growing. But just not doing anything is not considered Mekayim B'Klayim. There are Rishonim, however, disagree, and there are Rishonim say that Rabbi Kiva is Machmer Mekayim B'Klayim even without any action. So, Savrua. So they assume that the Tana of this Braisa, Hamani B'Kivihi, that says, HaMakayim B'Klayim Loika, that somebody who does, who even just maintains Klayim is Osir. And therefore, since maintaining Klayim is Osir, still it says that you're allowed to get payment for destroying Klayim. Till, that means you want to maintain it until it's destroyed. And yet, the Braisa says, it doesn't fall into the category of rights of Akuma. As Tosfos points out, it's not to say that this Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva only. It's the Sefer that the Gemara is suggesting follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Reisha doesn't necessarily follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, because the Reisha says that the Reisha, as we just quoted, says ain oidrim. We're not allowed to work on planting the field, working on the field with the Klayim. Now, if it's going according to Rabbi Kiva, that says the halacha that you're not even maintain Klayim, then why does it have to speak about planting? Could have even said that we're not allowed to even maintain Klayim. The fact that the Braisa says that we're not allowed to plant Klayim clearly indicates that it's going according to the opinion of Rabbonim, that the Isser is to plant Klayim, and the Braisa is teaching us that one may not participate with an Akum in doing anything in helping Klayim grow. The Tanya, this Machloikas of Rekiva Rabbonim, the Tanya, the Braisa says, Nachash Mechapa B'Klayim Loika, somebody who pulls out or covers earth with Klayim is Loika. Rekiva says the Isser is even Amakayim. My time to Rekiva, what is the basis of Rekiva's reasoning? Says the Gemara, Amakro Sotcha Lysizer Klayim. Enli El Zareya, the Pasuk speaks about planting. Mekayim and Naim, how do we know that the same Adin applies to maintaining? Tamloim Eloi Klayim. And there's Machloikas Rishonim how to understand this. The Pasuk says, As Chukoisai Tishmru, Bamtcha Lysabia Klayim, Sotcha Lysizer Klayim. So the way Rashi and other Rishonim explain is that we read the Pasuk, Behemtcha loy sarbiya, kama, klayim sotcha loy. You're not allowed to have any relation to klayim in your field. That's how some Rishonim learn, and that's how Rabbi Kiva learns that even mikayim klayim is asur. Other Rishonim say the basis for Rabbi Kiva's opinion is as follows. In the normal way the Torah would say in Isser, the Torah normally would say Lysizra Sotcha Klayim. The fact that the Torah used this unusual combination of words, Klayim Sotcha Lysizra, is an indication that it's even Osir to be Mekayim Klayim. And yet, even though Rabbi Kiva is so strict with klayim, he does say that oikir imoy kedei lemute is a tifla. So you see, whenever it's lemute tifla, it's mutter, even in it's not an issue of rights of b'kiyuma. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, loy. The proof is not necessarily a decisive proof. For we can say, Hamani, who's the tan of the bride, of this bride, Rabbanan he. And the Rabbanan hold that maintaining klayim is usher, is mutter. And therefore, since maintaining klayim is mutter, that's why one can participate with the akum to eliminate the klayim. Ask the Gemara, e Rabbanan, if we're saying that this b'raisa follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, if so, my ear, Oikrin, why is it that the b'raisa teaches us that we could participate with the akum and uprooting the klayim? Afilu kiyumi namishap edami, it should even be mutter to maintain klayim. The fact that the b'raisa says it's only mutter to uproot klayim but not to maintain the klayim, it doesn't seem to be following the opinion of the Rabbanan. Answers the Gemara, Hakamai Skinan. Here we're referring to a situation, Kigoin the Ovid Bechinam, where he works without pay. And this Bryce is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. The Torah says the words Loisachin Chanaim, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Litan Lahem Matnas Chinam, you're not allowed to give an Akam a gift for nothing. So normally, the halacha would be that one may not work with the akum without pay. The Brice is teaching us, since this person's goal is to eliminate the klayim, that's why it's mutter to work with the opinion that it's mutter to work even with the akum. However, says the Gemara, now that we've said that even though Rabbi Yehuda normally holds the loisachonim, you're not allowed to do anything with akum without pay. But if your goal is to lemute tifla, your goal is to eliminate the klayim, that makes it mutter. That would be a proof to Rabbi Kiva also. That even though Rabbi Kiva normally holds, one may not maintain klayim, but the same halacha will be that you can work with an akum and get paid for it, and even though you're maintaining the client for a short period, since your goal is lamute tifla. But Rabbi Yehuda nishma Rabbi Kiva, lavam Rabbi Yehuda asulitin lamatan schinam. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to give them a free gift, however, if your goal is ava lamute tifla, if your goal is to eliminate the tifla, the halach is shapadami that it's mutter. Similarly, Rabbi Kiva nami. Afagav the Amar Bekiva, even though Bekiva says Hamakayim Beklayim Loika, that one is not allowed to be Makayim Klayim, if your ultimate goal is Lemutli Tifla, to eliminate the Tifla, then it's Shapi Dami. And as Tosfos points out, even though this is really not our Sugya is not here to discuss the Halacha of what Bekiva holds regarding Klayim. The point of our Sugya is to learn the Halacha of Yain Nesach and Avodah Zorah. Still, once our Gemara brought in Rabbi Kiva's opinion, the Gemara already goes further and wants to show us what Rabbi Kiva would have, what the halacha would be according to Rabbi Kiva. The Ritva has a different approach. The Ritva's approach is that since Klayim is an Issa Deraisa, as is the Issa of Lois Tuchonim, whereas the Issa of Stam Yenom and writes of the kiyum of Stam Yenim is only the Rabbanon, the Gemara preferred to compare the halacha of Leisichonim and Klayim, and then only by extension teach us what the halacha is by Stam Yenim. And comments the Gemara, Vesuloi Midi. Once we've made this, we've gotten to this proof, there's nothing more to say regarding the halachas of Klayim. Regarding the halacha of Reitz B'Kiyumai, and that the halacha clearly will be that even though Reitz B'Kiyumai is Asur, if somebody's getting paid to discard Yayin Nesach, he's allowed to get paid, and it's not considered Reitz B'Kiyumai. Continues the Gemara. How do Yasri come by like? This group of Amoroim that we began the Shia with had another question. We know that the Torah teaches us that the money received, if a Jew were to sell Avodah Zorah, the money he receives, Avodah Zorah, as we've been discussing, Tefeses Damel, and even that money is considered Avodah Zorah. The Gemara's question, however, is, the May Avodah Kachavim B'yad Avodah Kachavim, if an Avodah Kachavim sells his Avodah Zorah, what is the status of that money? Mitafeses B'yad Damel B'yad Avodah Kachavim Eloi. Is it din that Avodah Zorah is Tefeses Damel applied by Akam or not? We know that the Torah said, Vayisa Chayrim Kamayhu. And the Gemara's question is, what will be the halacha regarding a case? Is that said specifically that that's the halacha, that's the source that Avodah Zorah Tefeses Damel? The question of the Gemara is that also going to be, is that it then limited to Jews or even to Akum? Interesting, Machlokes HaPoskim. Certainly, the halacha will be, everybody will agree, that if an Avod Kachavim sells his Avodah Zorah with the intention of buying another Avodah Zorah, that will be Asur. That money certainly is Tefeses Damel. The question is, where we don't know, do we have to be concerned that where we don't know what if his goal was to buy another Avodah Zorah? Are we to be Machmer? That seems to be the opinion of the Torah. Other Paiskim say that we could be Makel. Al Gemara clearly is discussing a situation, however, where he didn't want to buy Avodah Zorah with it, and is a Typhus of now or not. Amma, Rav Nachman, so responds Rav Nachman, Mestabra, I would say that the May Avodah Kacham B'yad Avodah Kacham Matarim. Then if Akum sold Avodah Zorah and he got money in exchange, that money is Mutar. What's the Raya? Medahani Dosla Kamad Rebavua. There were these individuals that came to Rebavua. Amluhu, and they were about to become Gerim. So he said to them, Zilu Zabinu Koma Adi Isluchu V'Eskairu. First go sell everything that you have, and only afterwards become Gerim. My Tama. Obviously, because Rav Nachman is of, what's the reason for Rabbi Avu's advice? Because obviously he is of the opinion that the Me'ev is Kacham B'Yadav Kacham B'Torim, and therefore sell it before, and since you'll sell it before, you won't have a problem that money is Asur. Ask the Gemara, V'dil Mashani Hasam, we can't bring a raya from that incident, because here we're referring to individuals who want to become Gerim. And since they want to become Gerim, the Kima, the Data LeGeyure, since they're becoming Gerim, certainly Vadi Batla, they certainly were Mevatel the Avodah Zorah. So Rashi explains, since they want to become Gerim, they certainly were mevatel the Avodah Zorah before they sold it. And if the Avodah Zorah is bottle, then there's no issue of the May Avodah Kachavim. However, ask the Rishonim, on Rashi's approach, if that's what happened here, that it was, they were mevatel it, and then they sold it, so then why did he tell them to sell it before the Geiris, if the Avodah Zorah is already nullified, and it's not Avodah Zorah halachically, they could have sold it even after the Geiris. So answer the Rishonim, that technically, absolutely, they could have been sold, this could have been sold even after the Geiris. Because once there was a Geiris, it's no longer Avodah Zorah. The reason he told him to sell it before was only because of Maris Ayin. However, the other Rishonim, Tosfos and Ritva, they seem to learn that the bittel is the selling. The selling is considered bittel. And even though the Chazon Ish and other Achronim point out that we've learned earlier in our Masechta that selling Avodah Zorah is not necessarily considered an act of bittel, says the Chazon Ish, that's only by a regular individual who we don't know what truly his intentions are. But when we speak about a person who's becoming a ger, there we certainly could be sure that his selling is a maisa bittel, and that's what Rabbi Bravua meant. So we can't bring a raya from that situation. So again, we want to know what is the halacha of an avodah kacham sells avodah zara. What is the status of that money? El mahachi. The Mara speaks about the following case. The brisa. Yisrael shayu noish b'avodah kachavim mona. If a guy owed a Jew money, and he sold his Avodah Zorah and brought it to him, or Yayin Nesach, or he sold Yayin Nesach and he brought it to him, mutter. The halacha is that that money is mutter for hana. Clearly, we seem to have a raya that the money received for selling avodah zarah is mutter. Avalam amalai, if he told him hamten liach emkavet kham vavilach, if Nachri told the Jew, wait till I sell my avodah zarah and then I will bring you the money. Or yai nesa vavilach, wait till I sell my yai nesach and I'll bring it to you. There it's asur. Again, but from the first case of the Braisa, it clearly we see that money received for selling avodah zarah is mutter. However, ask the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Why in the Reisha is that money received for the sale of avodah zarah mutter, and why in the Seifa money received for the sale of avodah zarah is asur? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Sheishas. Seifa Mishum Davalek writes B'kiyumai. The Jew wants to collect his debt. And as the Rishonim explain, here we're referring to a situation that he has no other money besides this avodah zarah. The Rishonim go on to say that's referring to a situation that this money was an apoteki. This avodah zarah was an apoteki, was put up as a pledge for the debt. The Rishonim go on to explain that's referring to a situation where the time for the collection of the debt is already due. For if the debt was not yet due, he could always say that it's not necessary to sell it. But here, since this avodah zarah was put up as a pledge, and therefore that's the raya, that's why it's asur. But we don't have a raya, but under normal circumstances, the money received would be mutton. Ask the Gemara. Even if we're saying that this is a situation of rights of kiyuma, why is it asur? V'tanan, we learned in another Mishnah. Ger v'ayvik echavim. We have a ger and a person who's a ger. And even though we know that Allah is ger shen is gayer k'katan shenoy l'dami, but his father, who's non-Jewish, is still his biological father. And that his biological father passes away, and they come to divide the Yerusha. Ger v'ayvik echavim, a ger and ayvik echavim, shiyar shavim ayvik echavim, that are yarshining from their father, the Akum. Ger yachaloy malay, the ger could say to the Yisrael, to the Akum, his brother, his biological brother who's not Jewish, talat ayvik echavim v'animos, you take the avodah zarah, and I'll take money. Tol ata yai nesach, you take yai nesach, and I'll take peros. However, im mishabol rishus ager, once the ger had took ownership of the avodah zarah, then the halacha is it's asur. So we see from here that the ger is allowed to make this type of exchange, even though he wants the avodah zarah to continue to exist, because if the avodah zarah will exist, then he'll get cash in exchange. If the avodah zarah won't exist, he won't get cash in exchange. So we see that this situation of rights of kiyumai is mutter. So why, in the case where the Akum is going to sell his avodah zarah to satisfy the debt, is it considered in the category of rights of kiyumai that's asur? Answers the Gemara. The Mishnah speaking about an avodah zarah that can be divided in pieces. It's made out of gold and silver. Who, even when the avodah zarah is broken, there is no going diminishment of value, and they have the same worth. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference if the avodah zarah is broken or not. It doesn't, and it's not right to be kiyumai. He doesn't need the avodah zarah to stay whole. Ask Tosfos, this is a good teretz for avodah zarah. But what are we going to say about yayin nesach? Yayin nesach, you can't say that. Ask the Gemara. Tenach avodah chavim, but yayin nesach, you can't say that it retains its value even if it's spilled. Ma'ikol meimer. Answers the Gemara, it's referring to Cheres HaDaryoni. We spoke about Cheres HaDaryoni earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chavtes. Cheres HaDaryoni is a type of a earthenware that they used to use, that they pour wine into this cheres, and the cheres absorbed the wine. And since the cheres absorbed the wine, even when the cheres is broken, the cheres is valuable. Says the Gemara, you still want it to continue to exist, because it won't exist, he won't be able to take cash in its place, and therefore he doesn't want it to get lost or stolen. Ela Amar Rapapa, says Rapapa, you can't bring a raya from that situation. Yerush Sager Kamrit, you want to bring a raya from the case of Yerush Sager. Shani Yerush Sager, Yerush Sager is different. The Kaleb Rabbanan, Chazal will particularly make when it comes to Yerush Sager. Why? Because Gzer Shem Yachl Kukuloi, which means as follows. As we said before, indeed the halach is the Gershon is Gai Kikot Nishnal Adami. And biologically and halachically, he is no longer a child of this Ivy Kachavim. But if we'll have a situation that we'll have a Ger whose father passes away, his biological father passes away, and we'll say Gershon is Gai Kikot Nishnal Adami, and you're not entitled to any Yerusha, that may cause the ger to be chayzel asuray. That may cause the ger to want to go back to his old ways. In order to avoid such a terrible situation, Chazal said that he should yarshin his father. And therefore, it's a unique din, and we can't. And therefore, Chazal will make on the rule of rights b'kiyumai also, but we can't use that as a proof for all other areas of halacha. And indeed we learned in a braisa, when is this said? When they yashin together the ger with his non-Jewish brother, but if they formed a partnership and now they want to dissolve it, they can't dissolve it in a way that the ger takes the money and the akum takes the avodah zarah, because he wants, therefore, the Avodah Zarah to exist. And as the Tosfos and the Rishonim explained the Gemara, what is this Braisa teaching us that the Gemara and the previous Braises haven't taught us? Says Tosfos, if we didn't have this Braisa, we could say perhaps the reason the Ger and the Akum can make this deal between themselves is because we apply the concept of Yesh Breira. Retroactively, we know whose is what. However, if we're going to say the concept of Yesh Breira, then we should say Yesh Breira even by Nishtatfu, when they're partners, the Ger and a Goy, and they want to dissolve the partnership, they should have the same rule. Yesh Breira should tell us retroactively that Avodah Zarah was always the Goy's and the money was always the Jew's. Obviously, we don't say Yesh Breira. Why don't we say Yesh Breira? Because here we're referring to a very serious Isser. An Isser that we've been discussing for many dafim, the Isser of Chalifei Avodah Zarah, which as we have been learning, Chazal were very concerned about Chalifei Avodah Zarah. Only by a Ger is there a special dispensation, as we said. In no other area is there a special dispensation, there's a concern of Reitzu B'Kiyumah. Continues the Gemara. How do Yosef come about? Then they ask another question. Ger Toshiv Ma Shivatel Avodas Kechavim. There's a concept of a Ger Toshiv, as the Ritva categorizes in introducing our Gemara. There are really three categories of Akum. There's a Goy, who the Ritva explains that is not even careful to follow the Zayin Mitzvahs. B'nei Noach. There's a Ben Noach who is careful to follow the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And then there's a Ger Toshiv. A Ger Toshiv, which Al Gemara will explain how one becomes a Ger Toshiv, is someone who accepted upon himself to be a Ger Toshiv. Furthermore, there is no concept of a Ger Toshiv nowadays, because the entire concept of the Ger Toshiv only applies b'zman sheyovel noy, when there's yovel. When there's no yovel, there's no Ger Toshiv. The halacha is, regarding a Ger Toshiv, mitzvah l'chayosai. We have an obligation to do everything to keep the Ger alive. And here, the Gemara's question therefore is, Ge'etoshev ma'ashiv atal v'ez kechavim. Does a Ge'etoshev have the ability to be mevatel avodas kechavim? Do we say the Polach, only an oivet avodah zara who himself, only someone who's actually worshipping avodah zara, mevatel, has the ability to be mevatel avodah zara? Or the loy Polach, and somebody who himself isn't worshipping avodah zara, clearly a Ge'etoshev la mevatel doesn't have the ability to mevatel avodah zara? Oy, demakad ba menei mevatel. Anyone who's non-Jewish has the ability to be mevatel avodah zara. Vaybamini who, and a Ge'etoshev is not Jewish. Amar Rabbanan, Mestaber, it makes sense. The Polach, only somebody who he himself worships avodah zara, the halacha is mevatel, the loy Polach la mevatel. Somebody who himself is not worshiping avodah zara cannot be mevatel avodah zara. And based on this, the Ritva, the Rambam, Paskin, the Yishmaelim, Muslims, don't have the ability to be mevatel avodah zara, because they are not, they don't worship avodah zara. Interestingly, the Chasam Sofer asks, if that's the case, that someone who doesn't worship avodah zara can't be mevatel avodah zara, we have a question going back to Amud Aleph. On Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, the Rebbe Ravua gave advice to the individual who was about to become a ger, quickly be mevatel avodah zara before you become a ger, and once you're Jewish, you don't have any more the ability to be mevatel avodah zara. Ask the Chasam Sofer, but our Gemara is now saying that anybody who doesn't worship avodah zara can't be mevatel avodah zara, and he clearly, if he's about to become a ger, is not worshiping avodah zara. So draws the Chasam Sofer, and actually the Kesem Mishnah says the same, a distinction between an entire nation and an individual. An entire nation, like the Yishmaelim, says the Chasam Sofer, since this is a nation that doesn't worship avodah zara, they don't have the ability to be mevatel avodah zara. However, a nation, an individual, even if he is indeed not worshiping avodah zara, but if he isn't yet a ger, and he's part of a group, he's part of a nation that worships avodah zara, he still has the ability to worship avodah zara. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Yisrael shematz avodas chacham b'shuk. Yisrael finds an avodah zara in the street. Actually, basli yaday, before he took possession of it, oyv midloiv chacham avatla. He could tell oyv akon to mevatel it. However, mish basli yaday, once he takes it, and oyv midloiv chacham avatla, he no longer could tell an oyv akon to mevatel it. Mish amru, because Chazal taught us, oyv chacham avatla avodas chacham shloiv shel chaveri, and oyv avodah zara could mevatel his avodah zara and someone else's. Then oyv de ben shen oyv day. Ask the Gemara in understanding the Braisa. My oyv day v'she'en oyv day. What does the Braisa mean when it says oyv day en oyv day? Ilema idiv idoyv kachavim. If you say the Braisa means that both of them, both the one who owns the avodah zara and the one who is asked to mevatel the avodah zara are both akum, just the difference is that this akum worships this avodah zara and the other akum doesn't, so then isn't that the same as shaloi v'shal chaveroi? So why is the Braisa repeating itself? Elalav, says the Gemara, what does the Braisa probably mean when it says this? Oivdoi means oiv kechavim. Mishena oivdoi. And what does Mishena oivdoi mean? It means ger toshiv. And yet the Braisa says that a ger toshiv kim mevatel avodah zara. Shema minoa ger toshiv nam mevatel. Loi. Says my loilam emloch. I will tell you what the Braisa means. Is idi v'idi. Both of them are referring to oiv kechavim. Or the ka'amrit. If that's what it means, what is the point in the redundancy of the Braisa? Isn't ben oivdei b'she'en oivdei the same as shaloi v'shal chaveroi? And the kamrit hainu shaloi v'shal chaveroi says the Gemara Reisha zev zeh lepor. The Reisha is talking about both of these akum worship the same avodah zara por. Over zev zeh makolus, they both worship the avodah zara and makolus. And the Braisa is teaching us that not only can one nullify his own power, he can nullify somebody else's power and say with Makarlis. Seifa zel par v'zel mekoilus. The Seifa is referring to some one person worships par and one person worships mekoilus, and still one akum can be mevatel the vaydazara of the other akum. Why indeed? Explain the achrayim. Because if an akum sees that you can mevatel avaydazara, he realizes that avaydazara is meaningless and doesn't make a difference which avaydazara it is, and that's why he has the ability to mevatel not only the type of avaydazara that he worships, but even another type. Meisei, ask the Gemara another question. Again, Rav Nachman has paskin that a ger toshif, given that he doesn't worship avaydazara, does not have the ability to be mevatel avaydazara. Meisei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, Ezu ger toshev, exactly how does one become a ger toshev? So the Tanakhama says, Kol shekivah lo b'fnei shloshi chaverim, whoever accepted in front of three Talmidei Chachamim, the Mefarshim explained why Talmidei Chachamim called chaverim, because their friendship, their chavris, is a true friendship. Kol shekivah lo b'fnei shloshi chaverim, anybody who accepted before three chaverim, shloi lav ravoyetz chachamim, that he won't worship avoyetz zoro, divir remeya. That is the opinion of Rameya. And as the Paiskim also explain, the halacha is that Bnei Noach are also not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. So what is unique about his Kabbalah? So the Brisker Rav explains, the Kabbalah of the Akum and the Kabbalah of Klal Yisrael is a different Kabbalah. The Kabbalah of the Akum, it's a Kabbalah because that was what Hashem said to the Bnei Noach. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to all of mankind. The Kabbalah of Klal Yisrael is a Kabbalah because that's what it says in the Torah. And the Kabbalah that this Ger Toshev is now accepting upon himself is a totally different type of Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah of Torah, not a Kabbalah of the Bnei Noach. B'chamayim kol shekibol of Shem mitzvah, and again the same explanation that it's this entire different type of Kabbalah. Acheirim Ramim, Tosfos points out that isn't Acheirim Rameya, so how do we have Rameya twice in the same Braisa? So there's a number of answers given. One answer is that why was Rameya called Acheirim? Because he learned by Elisha ben Avuya. So whatever he heard from, whenever he says something that he learned from Elisha ben Avuya, he's called Acheirim. When he says something that he learned did not hear from Elisha ben Avuya, then he's called Rameya. Another pshat is that the original opinion quoted in the Braisa was Rameya's original opinion, and then he changed his opinion, and the second opinion was later in life when he was called Acheirim, but Mishnah Leizaz Mekaima, the Braisa didn't delete his original opinion. They're not, these people who have been identified are not in the category of Ger Toshev. Ela is a Ger Toshev. Who is considered Ger Toshev? It's a Ger Oichel Nevelis. It's somebody who's Oichel Nevelis. Shekibol of Lekayim kol mitzvos amuras b'Torah. He accepted upon himself all mitzvos in the Torah. Chutz miyis Nevelis. Except it's in Nevelis. Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean? Chutz mi'isin nevelus. Some say that chutz mi'isin nevelus means specifically the lav of nevela, that that's the only lav that he may violate. Others say that nevelus is just an example of all lavim, that he has to follow the mitzvahs say, but he doesn't have to necessarily follow all the mitzvahs lois say. Furthermore, the Bi'a Halacha says in explaining in Magen Avraham that certainly, according to this, certainly a Ger Toshev has the right to be mekabel any mitzvah that he wants, and if he accepts upon himself any mitzvah, that he becomes fully obligated in that mitzvah. And even though we know normally that law is Ger Sheshavas, a Goy Sheshavas, a Goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos, Chayiv Misa, he's allowed to keep Shabbos. There's a psak from the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe that a Ger Toshev could even write tefillin, and the explanation that they give in understanding that Ramah is because we're referring to a Ger Toshev who accepted upon himself the mitzvah of tefillin, and if he accepts upon himself the mitzvah of tefillin, he could do any mitzvah. continues the Braisa in discussing this individual. Miyachden etzlo yayin ve'mafkiden etzlo yayin. Many different explanations how to understand this Braisa. We're going to learn with Rashi. Rashi is going to explain the miyachden means we keep wine with by him for a short amount of time, but we can't keep wine with him for a long amount of time. Because there are two concerns. One concern is that the Akum is going to touch the wine and turn it into Yayin Nesach, or that it's going to get he's going to exchange it with non-kosher wine. So we are not concerned, says Rashi in explaining the Braisa, that we're not concerned that if the, that he's going to touch, that he's going to let somebody, that he's going to touch the wine, but we are concerned that he's going to exchange the wine. There are other Rishonim that have a very different explanation in this Braisa, and they explain that the heter of Yachtim means that there is no concern, even though we learned that Akum may not touch wine, there's an Isra of Maga Akum. The din of Maga Akum is not applicable by a Ger Toshiv, but the other Yisurim are applicable. And again, this is relevant to a question. If we said before that anybody who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah is in the category of a Ger Toshiv as far as these halakhas are concerned, he says that therefore it may be that a Muslim, who again, as we've been saying, doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, there wouldn't maybe be a din of Maga Akum when he touches wine. We can't leave the wine with him for a long time, even in a city where most of the people are Jews. So even if he's going to change the wine, it's likely it's going to be exchanged with kosher wine. But we can leave wine by him for a short time, because for the short time, we don't have to be concerned. And the Braisa says, finishes with the word Shamna Kiyayinai. Ask them, Shamna Kiyayin Sarkadaitach? What does it mean? Shem mikave yayin nesach? Does Shem become yayin nesach? Says the Gemara, el yayinai kishemnai. We learned earlier in the Masechta that originally Chazal said that the oil of Akum is asr, but it was only asr b'achila, not asr b'anah, and the Brayis is teaching us that so too is the wine of the Akum. L'shaka dover, harei k'akum. Regarding other areas of halacha, he's treated like an Akum. Rav Shimon Oimer, yayinai yayin nesach, his wine is considered full-fledged yayin nesach. Ramilei, others say, however, mutu b'shtiya. K'tanimiyah, but getting back to the point of our Gemara, the Braisa here says that regarding the Ger Toshiv, L'sha'a called Dvorov, Harei Kovik Chavim, L'mai Havasa, Lav, isn't the Braisa coming to teach us, the Vatla Avos Kachavim, Avos Kachavim, that he has the ability to be Vatla Avos Dazor, like any Akum, not like Rav Nachman, who says that a Ger Toshiv can't be Mevatl Avos Dazor. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak Loi, it's regarding a different rule. It's talking regarding Litl Rishos or Vatl Rishos. And the Gemara explains itself. The halacha is, there's a halacha of Eruv Chatzeris, that Chazal said that even though how one should be allowed to carry anywhere in Rosh Hashayachit, the halacha is, the best example we always give is an apartment building, where people have separate apartments, and they have a common corridor or foyers. You can't carry in those corridors, even though it's all one big Rosh Hashayachit, because it looks like you're carrying from Rosh Hashayachit to Rosh Hashayachit through Rosh Hashirabim. The only way to avoid this problem is by making Eruv Chatzeris, where everybody participates in giving some bread, which is left in one apartment, which makes the entire house like one big Rosh Hashayachit. But that was said regarding the Jews in the house. What about other individuals in the house? Kritanya, the Braisa says, Yisrael Mumer, Mishamer Shabta B'shuk, if you have a non-religious Jew, but Beferesia, in public, he's not Mechal Shabbos. The halacha is Vatl Rishos. If he didn't participate in giving something towards the Erev, he could just give up the rights to his Rishos for Shabbos, and his apartment won't be an issue. She'enim Shabta B'shuk, in Mechal Shabbos B'Faresia, Einim Vatl Rishos. This approach wouldn't work for him. Nesha Amru, Yisrael, Nois Rishos and Vatl Rishos. A Jew who didn't participate in the Ruvich Hatzeris has still the option of ceding the rights to his rishus to solve the problem. However, by an Avik Kachavim, or a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos Beferesia, Achiyisker. The only thing that will work is if they rent the apartment. And the Rishonim explained, because we wanted to limit Jews from living with Akum, or Jews from living with people of Mechal Shabbos for Esfya, and that's why they gave this advice. Keitzat, Amla Rishusi Knuyalach, Rishusi Mvatalaslach. This Gemara is explaining how Mevatel Rishus works. If he says Rishusi Knuyalach, or Rishusi Mvatalaslach, Kana. Meitzach Lazakas, he doesn't have to go through an act of acquisition. But as we said, this would only work with another Jew, or a Jew, even if he's Mechal Shabbos, but he's not Mechal Shabbos for Esfya. However, an Akum, we have to go through a full-fledged rental process. Teaches us the Braisa, that a Ger Toishiv is the same as an Akum regarding this halacha. But Rav Nachman's ruling that a Ger Toishiv does not have the ability to Mevat Lavoy Dezara could absolutely still stand.